The book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 1. We begin a new study today on the book of 1 Corinthians. We've left the children of Israel. We've been on them for several months. And today we move over to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to talk today about real people with real problems. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Sosthenes, our brother. The church of God, or to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by Him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Michael, will you lead us, please?
Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today. We thank you for a beautiful day to meet together and worship you and honor you, Father, as church family. God, move in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Oftentimes when we start a new book like this, or whether it's a Bible study or if it's just personal reading, when we start a new book like this, we just look at it as though, well, okay, it's a new book of the Bible, it's a different book of the Bible. But today, I want you to just stop and think and realize it's not just a book of the Bible, okay? This was a letter written from the Apostle Paul, and it was written to real people who were in a real church, experiencing real life, okay? Because if we just look at it from the point of view, well, that's another book of the Bible, it kind of seems like a fairy tale. It was no fairy tale. The things that Paul's going to write about are very real and very prevalent in their society as well as in ours. These were people who lived in a pagan society, real people, real problems, who needed a real God. And that's what I want you to understand today. Everything that we're going to talk about in this book, 1 Corinthians, is very applicable to you. Okay? Because you are real, right? Three of you are real. I don't know what the rest of you are. You are real. You're in a real church. And you have real problems, right? Real issues. So that's the way that I want you to approach this. And the first lesson we're going to learn as we open this book of 1 Corinthians is that you have absolutely everything that you need. I want you to think about that. You have everything you need to live a God-honoring life. As we consider that, the first thing we're going to consider is the identification that Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he said in verse 2, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified. Are you sanctified? Do you know what sanctified means? That's one of those churchy words that we use a lot that a lot of people don't know what it means. It literally means to be set apart. Sanctified is to be set apart. That means you're taken out of the world and you're set apart for a godly purpose. Did you know you're special? I was in a Sunday school class this morning and the teacher said his class was special. And I agree with you, Brother Andy. I think they're very special. But do you realize you're special? set apart for God Himself. And you know, when you were taken out of the world and set apart, I want you to understand, you were not just set on some remote island somewhere for you to sit here and say, I'm saved and that's all that's important. No, that's not the idea. You were taken out of the world. You were set apart for exclusive use toward Jesus Christ. And you were to be set into a church. Okay? Here, he's writing, he says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth. And I want you to understand the importance of God's church. All right? You're sanctified. You're set apart, set into the church, or should be set into the church. And the reason I say, I don't understand some people's attitude about church today. In that people don't consider, many people don't consider church as being important. I want to tell you, church is important. Okay? It is very important. Again, I don't understand, but I've been told, you know, people, well, you know, church is not that big a deal. I can be saved. I can go to heaven and still not be in church. Newsflash. The kingdom of God is not all about you going to heaven. Now, it's a wonderful benefit of being a child of God. All right? But the kingdom of God is to the glory of God. That's why He said, to God be glory, or to Him be glory in the church throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Do you realize God has chosen the organization on this earth to bring Him glory, and that organization is His church? If you'll notice, it doesn't say to Him be glory in Doug Hambrick by Christ Jesus, does it? No, no. It doesn't say to Him be glory in Michael Weatherford. No, in the church. Who the church? A group of baptized believers that are joined together for the glory of God. That's what we're about. That's why church is so important. Listen, if you back up and you say, well, you know, I just don't have much use of church, I want you to know you're being offensive to God. I give you an example. You say, Brother Doug, I love you, but I don't care for your wife. I'm going to study on that just a moment, and I'm going to chew on it, and which actually you'd probably say, Sister Beth, we love you, but we don't care for your husband. That would probably be more believable, wouldn't it? But let's say, you say, Brother Doug, we love you, but we don't care for your wife. I'm going to think about that, and I'm going to say, that's my bride. I love her. I have spent 30 years with her. No, I'm kidding. 34 years. Or 34 years this year. Let's move on. I have spent a lot of time with her, dedicating my life to her. And I'll just be honest with you. If you say, Brother Doug, I love you, but I don't care for your wife, I'm going to back up and say, well, you don't care for me then. Because she's part of my flesh. She is flesh of my flesh, bone of my bones. And we're a package deal. You know? And if you can't love her by loving me, you can't love me. Same thing with God's church. You see the importance? This is the bride of Christ. Read Ephesians chapter 5 and see that the church is the bride of Christ that He gave Himself for. You are set apart. Set apart for what? To be a member of the Lord's New Testament church. Treat it like the bride of Christ. Not only are you sanctified, you're a saint. Now, many people may back up here and say, whoa. Yes, if you are a child of God, you are a saint. Someone that's been dedicated to the service of Almighty God. You know, you're not on this earth to be served. You're here to serve. You're not in a church to be served. You're in a church to serve. You know what I've discovered? Life is much better when I serve as opposed to being served. It's just so much, there's so much more joy, because if I focus on, you know, what's in it for me and people serving me, people always let me down. Oh, but the joy is when I'm able to use the gifts that God gives me and use those gifts to His glory in serving. You see, the word saint carries the idea of uncommon. Meaning we're not like the rest of the world. We're a little bit different. I love to see the saints of God do things and people back up and say, why did they do that? Do acts of love. You know, when they're going through drive-thru, paying for the meal of the person behind them, and the person behind them thinking, why did they do that? Ooh, I know why. Because they're a saint. And listen, see, most of us don't really come to grips with the idea that we are saints, because we're afraid, well, if I say a saint, that's being prideful. And No. You see, you got to realize who you are in Christ before you realize what you can be in Christ. Number one, you're set apart. Set apart to be a part of the New Testament church. Number two, you're a saint dedicated to serve. Stand out by the way you serve. I like to stand out, don't you? I like being uncommon. People go to great lengths to be uncommon. Clothes. And I figured this out. Do you know why young men wear their pants down around their knees? I know it's hard to understand, but do you know why they do? To stand out. To get attention. To say, look at me. I mean, we do all kinds of things to stand out, to get attention. And you know, you look at, you think, why did they color their hair orange? And if you have orange hair, I apologize. I don't bring that up to be offensive. That's your choice. But the reason they do is to stand out. Same way with piercings, same way with tattoos and all that. I'm not being judgmental. I want you to understand. But I want you to understand the point. The point to it all is to stand out so that people will notice you. Well, you know, as a child of God, we should be uncommon. We should stand out, not by the way we dress, but by the way we just very simply conduct our lives on a daily basis. That's what Paul is sharing when he says sanctified saints. Well, that should make you, when you realize, hey man, I am somebody in Christ Jesus. Sanctified saints in doctrine, indoctrination. That's the second thing that this church at Corinth had going for them. They were indoctrinated. First of all, they were rich. Verse 5 says, verse 5 says that you were enriched in everything. That word enriched means to literally make very wealthy. It doesn't mean that you're kind of wealthy or you're pretty well off. It means to make very wealthy. And Paul's pointing out to them, because Paul knows everything that he's going to write. He knows everything that this church at Corinth faces. And he wants them to know from the very beginning, look, you have everything you need in the Lord Jesus Christ. I love Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. Do you realize that as children of God, that we cannot have an attitude if we can't? Because our God can. Whatever it is. You see, we start out not counting on our power, but the power of Almighty God Himself. We have to realize that we are enriched. Do you realize why people don't ever do anything for God? Because they don't believe in God. Does that make sense? Oh, Brother Doug, I believe there is a God. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about believing in God. In His ability. to work through you. When Paul says, look guys, I know that you are living in one of the most immoral places that are upon this earth. And that's what the city of Corinth was. They were a horrible place to live. It was terrible. They had a temple of Aphrodite. And it was a sex-crazed city. Does it sound familiar? And they were just ungodly. And Paul knew it. But Paul says, first of all, here's what you have to realize. Don't be making excuses as to why you can't live a Christian life. Realize that you have been enriched by the Creator of this universe. You have everything you need. You have been educated. I like the way he puts this. That you are enriched in everything by Him, in all utterance and all knowledge. They knew the way it was supposed to be. They knew Scripture. They had been taught God's Word. They had a problem with applying it, but they knew the Word of God. Let me ask you a question. If we're going to make a difference, if we're going to stand out as saints, one of the ways we're going to stand out as saints is by what we know. David said, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Would it disrupt your life if your Bible was taken? I want you to think about that statement. When's the last time you picked up your Bible? Brother Doug, I read my Bible every day. Good. But do you realize that there are a lot of people in this world who don't? Let me ask you this. Do you commit Scripture to memory? Do you? You know, we're all familiar with a 1 Timothy study, show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're all familiar with that. But when push comes to shove and the rubber meets the road, do you commit Scripture to memory? Say, oh, Brother Doug, I can't. Listen to me. I've had people say, I just can't commit it to memory. I love you, but you're lying. You can commit the Word of God to memory. Brother Doug, I can't. Let me ask you a question. If I were to offer you $1,000 for every Bible verse that you committed to memory, how many Bible verses could you commit to memory? I want to tell you something. I'd tear that Bible up. How about you? But do you see, there's power in education. There's power in knowing the Word of God. If you're going to do battle with the devil, you better be ready with the Word of God. You know? You've got to have that indoctrination, that education, that time in God's Word, so that when Satan hits you, you can back up and you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Get thee behind me, Satan. You know, there's just time. You just need to rattle off the Word of God. Because that's the only defense you have. Oh, my friends. Got a new goal. He said, oh no, not again, Brother Doug. You're always coming up with goals. I've got a new goal. We make the Word of God important again. We commit it to memory as though our life depended on it, because it does. But I also have another goal, and that goal is that God's people get serious about Bible study. We have some of the most outstanding Bible teachers I've ever had the privilege of being a part of. Okay? I love our teachers here. Victory is just, and we probably take it for granted, is blessed beyond measure. But sometimes our attendance is not quite what it should be in Sunday morning Bible study. Listen, I try as hard as I can, but I'll be honest with you. If all you get is the message from me, you're not getting enough. Okay? You need more. You need time in God's Word with God's people. In that informal environment where there is a teacher, but y'all are discussing the Word of God and what does it really mean to you. You need that time. You see, that equips you to fight the battles. You have to have a God education. Not a seminary degree, but a God education. The best way to get that is attending Bible studies at church. And tell you what my goal is. My goal is 300 in attendance, Sunday morning Bible study, the Sunday after Labor Day. Isn't it Labor Day that's coming up? 300 attendance. Do you realize Victory has, last time I checked, 500 and something members, and we have yet to break 300 in Sunday school? How about, what's the day after the Sunday after Labor Day? The 11th? The 11th is Bible study day. Let's blow the record out of the water. And my friends, at the goal 300, we're running 250, 275 right now. Okay? It's not much of a goal. But I want that to be a starting point for this year. You need it. I'm not trying to nag you. I'm trying to convince you that you need the Word of God. Not only were they educated, not only were they enriched, they were examined. It said in verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Literally, to put it in language that we understand, it reads, the evidence of Christ has been proven in you. Paul's saying, guys, can't you see God working? Can't you see God working within you? You see, they had a personal testimony. They could back up and tell Paul of when they got saved. And it was really special to Paul because you read back in Acts chapter 18 when he started the church, he led a lot of them to the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a personal testimony? Do you have a personal testimony where you can go back and you can tell when you were saved? Brother Doug, I'll go to church. I'm not asking if you go to church. Going to church is wonderful. But can you go back to that time where you called out to Jesus and asked Him to save you? Can you go back to that point in your life where you could tell people, here's what I've done and here's why I'm going to heaven? If not, my friend, you're not saved. And you're floundering out there fighting the temptations and the trials of this world. And you're trying, oh, I'm going to church and I'm doing the best I can. You don't have a chance until you're a child of the King. You know what's wonderful about being a child of the King? You're a child of the King. I mean, you think about it. How do you feel about your children as mothers and fathers? Go ahead. Let somebody mess with my kids, right? Oh boy, turn them loose. Do you realize as being a child of God, God loves you even more than that? I want God on my side. I want the world to know I'm a child of the King. I want that. And listen, you've got to, you need that personal testimony because what happens is quite often, well, let me just, are you willing to be honest?
Well, Doug, that depends.
Have you ever doubted your salvation? Just raise your hands if you've ever doubted your salvation. Is what I have ever, is it really real? You see, here's where personal testimony is so very vital. I have doubted my salvation before. And I thought, boy, you know, if I was really saved, why did I act that way? And why did I do that? And not, you know, at the time, just not really picking up on the fact that is old Satan whispering in my ear saying, boy, you know you don't got it. You know you're not real. Look at what you just did. Look at what you're capable of. You're not a child of the King. But you know what I've discovered? I've got a personal testimony. Whereas some years ago, I got down on my knees at a little church called White Oak Missionary Baptist Church, and I cried out to God and asked Him to save me by His Son Jesus Christ. And guess what? Ever since that I got up off my knees, I'm a child of the King. I can go back to that place where I gave my life to Jesus. I was 8 years old. And Satan, he may come at me today and point his finger, and I say, "That's right, but you need to take it up with my Heavenly Father. He saved me. He gave His Son." You see, you need that personal testimony. You need to realize the power that's there. The third thing that they had was inspiration. I love the last two verses. Paul said, "Who will conform you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ?" God is faithful. I love that statement. God is faithful. The word faithful means reliable. That no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening around you, you can trust Him. God was there for the church at Corinth every step of the way. And He never let them down. Here's what I want you to understand as we begin this study. And my goal in this study is that we look at these things within the book of 1 Corinthians and we apply them. But I want you to understand that as we apply them and as we face the things in this life, whether immorality, ungodliness, and the things that we have to deal with from a day-to-day basis, I want you to realize the power of Almighty God. You know, we're told in the Word of God that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Do you believe that? You know why you can do that? Because God is faithful. He is reliable. Sometimes I think we become afraid. I've often heard people say, "Oh, Brother Doug, good things are happening at Victory. You better be careful. Old Satan's going to raise his head. He's going to rear up along the way." I got news for you. He reared up a long time ago. He's just fighting everywhere. You know, he's trying to get in the middle of it. But I also got news for you. He's not welcome here. Okay? And it's not by my power, not by my might, not by your power, but by the power of Almighty God that we keep Him at bay. Okay? I'm not that strong. You're not that strong, but I know the Creator of the universe. I call Him my Heavenly Father. I'm His child. And when Satan picks on me, he's picking on God. And when Satan raises his ugly head, you need to understand, God is faithful. Okay? He's going to see it through. He's going to see us through. Then finally, Jesus is our fellowship. God is faithful, verse 9, by whom you were called into fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That word, fellowship, is common ground. Folks at Corinth were a mixed bunch. Some were Jews, some were Gentiles. Corinth was a trading freeway to the world. I think they called it the Bridge of the World. Just a very interesting place. Very diverse group of people. But one thing brought them together. And that was Jesus. That's what pulled them together. And as I look among the membership of Victory, and if you're a guest here today, we're so glad you're here, and this would apply to you. You know, we're very different. These folks over here might like one thing, while these folks over here like something else. Folks in the middle don't like nothing. No, I'm kidding. I love you. Yeah, they like stuff too. Smart aleck preacher. But you know, it amazes me how diverse we can be, and yet how close we can be. And you know what brings us together? It's Jesus Christ. We don't have to act the same. We don't have to look the same. We don't have to like the same things. But I want to tell you, as long as Jesus is our focus, we'll be a church on fire. We'll be a church that is fired up, that sees moves. You know one thing I appreciate about Victory that God has blessed me with? Is frequently I get to get in the baptistry to baptize. And that indicates that people are being saved. The reason people are being saved is because God's still moving. And the message of the cross of Jesus Christ is still changing lives. And that message is still drawing us together as a church family. My friends, I want you to know today that I'm nothing. You're nothing. But we are serving the God of this universe who is everything. And it's that God, it's Jesus, that brings us together. That causes us to get along. I like getting along, don't you? You know why we can get along? Because we have common ground in Jesus. Are you a child of the King? If not, why not? Not going to draw this out. It's been a basic introduction. But let me tell you, before you can take this next step and really grasp the Word of God in this book of 1 Corinthians, you need to be a child of the King. Okay? It's not going to make sense if you don't belong to Jesus. Are you a child of God? Can you go back to that time? Are you equipped so that when Satan attacks, you can face him head on and you can say, "Satan, take it up with my Father"? Or are you going it alone? If you're not a child of God, today's the day. Don't put it off anymore. You know, I hear people all the time, "Well, one of these days," but the unfortunate thing is one of these days seldom ever gets here. Why not make today Jesus your Savior? If you're here and perhaps the Lord is leading you to become a member and serve God as a member of this church, and you've been putting it off, saying, "Well, I just, you know, one of these days, and have you noticed one of these days have not gotten here yet? You know this is where you're supposed to be. Come join the church today. Quit putting it off. There's no time like the present." Maybe you're here and you've never followed the Lord in scriptural baptism. Oh, you know you're saved. You know you remember getting on your knees, but you've never went public. It's time to let the world know who you belong to. Whatever your spiritual need is today, will you just listen to the Lord and will you respond? Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord. I thank you for the day. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your reminder that we are equipped with everything we need to glorify you as your children. Lord, I pray that as we come to this invitation, for those who need to move, whether it be for church membership, whether it be for baptism, whether there's another need for rededication or just prayer time at the altar, I pray, Lord, your will be done. We give you all glory and praise and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name.